What's going on? You're listening to the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM. David Tewksbury on the road. Yours truly, Matt McClure, otherwise known as the Cobra, here taking you through the next hour here of some sports talk. Had the SODAC 16 qualifiers in girls hoops there last night. I was actually at Warner as Warner and Britton Hecla battled in Class B, Region 1. We'll recap that matchup a little bit later on. Also, how about an upset at Leola Frederick? Northwestern and Leola Frederick battling it out. Aberdeen Roncalli will head to the SODAC 16 after a nice win against Groton. Some great matchups there last night in the SODAC 16 qualifiers, and a lot of teams punched their ticket to head to the SODAC 16. And looking forward to seeing the matchups there. It came out. We'll preview those matchups for the SODAC 16 later on in the show. Also later on in the show, we're joined by Ryan Martin. And Ryan is over there at Sioux Falls, or down there at Sioux Falls, I should say, covering the state wrestling tournament. He's going to join us live over the phone from Sioux Falls at the state wrestling tournament. That's right around 10:30 this morning on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Obviously, Northern State on the road this weekend, Augustana tonight, and Wayne State tomorrow. Schedule goes like this for tonight, 5:30 and 7:30 tonight. The women tip off first at 5:30, the men to follow at 7:30, and Wayne State's game for tomorrow, that's 3:30 and 5:30. You can listen to Tukes tomorrow and tonight right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A daily show Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Once again, my name is Matt McClure. Really appreciate you tuning in. We got the jump coming up here in just a moment, but just want to talk a little bit about what I saw quickly at the Warner and Britton Hecla game last night, a 64-31 win for the Monarchs, who now go to the SODAC 16. And I'll tell you what, we've been talking about this team, me and Tukes, for the last couple weeks, and we always thought that, hey, maybe this team's got a little chip on its shoulder after losing in the volleyball state championship game. They were undefeated all the way to the state title game and then just fell there in the fifth set. And a lot of those girls who play volleyball also play basketball. And that was the first time I've seen Warner in person this year. And I'll tell you what, that's a team that never is standing around on offense. They're constantly moving, and it's a really joy to watch because there's girls cutting to the basket, making screens, getting open for three. I mean, they're physical on defense. They get after it. They get loose balls. They get deflections. I was really impressed what I saw from Warner last night. 64-31 win for the Monarchs. Kyra Markison was lethal from downtown. 21 points. She hit 3 3-pointers. Kylie Schopp also was a force down low with 14. Ava Nilsson, I'll tell you what, she's the tallest girl on the floor, but she's got guard-like skills. Can run the floor really well, can dribble, and some of the passes she had last night were spectacular. She had 12 points, and they got a lot of balance, Warner did, and were able to win. Britton Hecla, Sterling Brassfield made some really nice plays, hit a buzzer beater from half court. I've been saying this has been the year of the buzzer beater. I don't know what it is, but I've seen, I think, in counting broadcasting games this year, 3 buzzer beaters. This year, it's pretty crazy to think about. I saw the Aberdeen Central one. Brendan Phillips hit a buzzer beater. Maybe closer to 5 now that I think about it. Lauren Burkhardt hit a buzzer beater for Central earlier this year. Jet Carlson hit a buzzer beater at the end of the first quarter against Harrisburg this year. And then that one last night as well for Sterling Brassfield from half court. I don't know what it is. It's the year of the buzzer beater. We're seeing it week in, week out in South Dakota, which is pretty cool seeing it here locally. So just wanted to give my quick thoughts on that Warner-Britton game. I was at there covering that one on our sister station, 99.5 Jack FM and BigStoneRadio.com there last night, and just wanted to give my overall thoughts on that one. We'll recap what we saw from the SODAC 16 qualifiers there in our next segment. We'll also preview the matchups coming up in the Sodak 16 for both Class A and Class B in the following segments as well. But want to toss this thing skyward for the jump. Yes, let's toss it skyward. I'll tell you what, that felt pretty good. I'll tell you, when Took says that, it just hits a little bit different. Let's toss this thing skyward, and let's go to the jump here for today. Got a little 2-4 for the jump, one in the NBA and one college basketball, one that's near and dear to my heart on the second one. But we'll start here with the NBA, what I saw there last night. And I saw this story. There was a video making the rounds on Twitter or X. And the Phoenix Suns were playing the Dallas Mavericks. This is the first game since the All-Star break. The players had got all that time off, right, for the All-Star break. We were talking about it on Monday, how me and Tukes thought the All-Star game was pretty much a joke. 211 points in the game from one team. There was almost 400 combined points. The slam dunk contest was terrible. I mean, that might have been the only highlight. Just not the best All-Star weekend, in my opinion. But first game since the All-Star break, fans are already trying to make some noise. So at the Mavericks game last night in the Suns, there was a fan sitting courtside. It was, I think, a husband and wife. They were sitting courtside. And, you know, when the road team goes on the floor, you probably boo, right? Just boo. You guys stink or whatever. Well, this guy said something bad to Kevin Durant, a vulgar term to Kevin Durant. He called him the B word. And Kevin Durant heard it, turned around, and started talking like, wait a second, what you say? Were you saying that to me? What are you saying there? So Kevin Durant turned around and was like, wait a second here. And the fan was trying to make peace with him and shake his hand. And Kevin Durant refused to shake his hand. I don't get it with these fans thinking that they could just go to a game and say whatever you want, especially if you're sitting courtside, because the players can hear you. If you say something that they don't like, they could turn around and say, hey, what are you doing here? So that's part one of the jump, a fan making some noise there courtside, Kevin Durant confronting a fan and the fan trying to shake his hand, and KD wanted nothing to do with it. By the way, the Mavericks won that game there last night by 10. I don't know what it is, but Dallas has got the Suns' number this year. Part two of the jump, like I said, it's near and dear to my heart. Penn State graduate, I've mentioned that on the program a bunch. And Penn State's known for basketball, or known for football. But on Wednesday night, I'm flipping through the TV, and I see Penn State basketball is playing. And usually they play games at the Bryce Jordan Center, which is the new center that they've been playing games at. I'd probably say, you know, the last 20-plus years or close to 20 years. But they used to play at Rec Hall. And when I was in school, Rec Hall was kind of that, you know, if you wanted to play basketball with your buddies, you'd go to Rec Hall and play pickup games. But Penn State used to play there. It's also the home of the volleyball squads, and they got great crowds for volleyball. So anyway, I flip on the game, and I'm like, wait a second. Penn State's playing at Rec Hall, and they were playing number 12 Illinois. They played in their old gym, basically just in front of students only, and had Illinois head coach Brad Underwood begging for it to never happen again. He goes on the podium and says, I wish we played at the other place, because Penn State came back and won 90-89. They were down 7 with 45 seconds left, and they scored 7 straight points. They got fouled for 3 at the end of the game, and the Penn State hit 3 free throws at the end to win. They got a stop, and there was a court storming. I mean, just seeing that as a Penn State graduate, it was awesome, because Penn State isn't known for basketball. If you go to a Penn State, you know, alum, you know, they care about the basketball team, but it's all football at Penn State. So to see that at their old gym at Rec Hall and to come away with that win was awesome against a number 12 team in the nation. Pretty cool. And they did it at Rec Hall. The radio call was awesome of it. It was just, I'm here for that. You know, and if I can sign, if I need to sign a petition, if I need to sign something, any way to help to get Penn State to strictly play home games at Rec Hall from here on out, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Let's just scrap the rest of the home games at the Bryce Jordan Center, and let's finish the season at home at Rec Hall. So those are my two jump here for today. Coming up next on the program, we're going to talk a little bit of hashtag SD Preps, take a look at the Insurance Plus Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard, recap the SODAC 16 qualifiers in Class B and Class A, so make sure to keep it tuned for that. Also, later on, right around 10:30, we're joined with Ryan Martin. He's covering the state wrestling tournament in Sioux Falls. We'll actually have an update with Ryan coming up next, and we're going to be talking to him live right around 10:30. So make sure to keep it tuned for all that. You're listening to the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen.
Northeastern South Dakota wrestling fans, the action continues here from the South Dakota State Wrestling Tournament. On the Class A side of things, 107-pounder Madison Gillen going to take the mat shortly. Also 120-pounder Eula Martin. Also for Aberdeen Central at 132, Jasmine Moss will wrestle shortly, as well as Lynn Pao Jone at 145. At 185, Lily Nelson going to wrestle here shortly in the first round wrestlebacks, as well as Nina Howard at 250. As they switch to the boys' side of things, Class A, 106 pounds, and Class B, Eston Foss and Madden Odlin both going to take the mat shortly after the girls. At Class A, 120-pounder Porter Lazinski going to wrestle this morning, as well as Class B, 126-pounder Connor Zenz. Also Class A, 132, Tate Huff, 38-pounder Ridley Waldo. Also Class B, 144-pounder Landon Coyle. At 150, Garrett Kramer from Falkton area. Also 157-pounder in Class B, Corgan Cucker, and Class A, 165, Elias Beeger. Class B, 175, Dylan Murray. Also at Class A and B, 190, wrestling this morning is going to be Cole Dunleavy and Camden Murray. Also Alex Pudwell in Class B, 190. So they switch to 215 with Aiden Giese. Also heavyweights, Bryce Beetlesbacher and Parker Bodie, all wrestling in the first round wrestlebacks. Team scores look like this. Class A, Sturgis in the lead, followed by Pierre, Brandon Valley, T area, and then Aberdeen Central. Class B is Philip Kadoka area wall, followed by Canton, Winterager, Custer, and Wagner. As our action continues here from Denny Sanford Arena, South Dakota State Wrestling Tournament via the Primrose Hub City Radio Sports Network.
Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM. This is the Sports Hub, a feel-good Friday edition of the show. Solo show for me here today. David Tewksbury on the road with the Northern State men's and women's basketball squads. Taking on Augustana in Sioux Falls tonight, and then at Wayne State tomorrow. Times are as follows, 5:30 and 7:30 tonight. Women will tip off first at 5:30, followed by the men at 7:30. And then on Saturday, tomorrow, 3:30 and 5:30, you can listen to Tukes right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen for both of those matchups. Northern State, the men's squad, they're fighting for their playoff lives after just a couple heartbreaking games this past weekend at the Barnett Center. Right there in that mix of the bottom tier of the playoffs there, and when you look at the NSIC tournament, you know, if they could get the split this weekend, you know, that would be huge for them to pretty much secure their spot in the NSIC tournament. As for the women, you know, they got that 2-3 seed pretty much locked up at this point, and they're going to have some tough matchups, though, this weekend. Augustana, also Wayne State, they're battling for their playoff lives. So going to have to bring your A game if you're Northern State on the women's side, because you know you're going to get Augie's A game. You know you're going to get Wayne's A game, because they're going to play with some desperation. Like, hey, you know, we got to win these games here to make a run at the playoffs. So that's something to look at as well here when you're talking Northern State men's and women's hoops. Also, on the hub, we're going to be joined by Ryan Martin, and Ryan's going to be joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, talking a little bit about some state wrestling. So make sure to keep it tuned for that right around 10:30 here on FSA. He's going to be joining us over the phone line. He's live in Sioux Falls, and make sure to keep it tuned for that right around 10:30 with our discussion with Ryan, talking some state wrestling there. Day one, we'll also preview day two. He'll give you some more updates on that right around 10:30. Let's take a look now at the Insurance Plus Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard. And started out here in Region 1B. We talked about this in the open It was Britton Hecla defeating Warner, or excuse me, Warner defeating Britton Hecla 64-31. Your final score there, Kyra Markison with 21 points for Warner. She hit 3 3-pointers, and Kylie Schopp added 14, Ava Nilsson with 12, and they jumped out to a 26-11 lead in this game. It got down to around 15 points in the third quarter. It was 39-24. Britton was making a run, but after that, Warner went on a major run. Britton was actually held scoreless in the fourth quarter in this game. Sterling Brassfield, 8 points. Heather Storbakken with 6 for the Braves. As for the other Region 1B SODAC 16 qualifier, it was Northwestern with an awesome win on the road at Loyola Frederick. This was a pretty wild game because Northwestern led by 15 at one point after three quarters of this one. And then Loyola Frederick went on a 23-10 run in the fourth quarter. Laura Sumption, I'll tell you what, she's had an incredible season. Didn't have the best shooting night, but she still had 26 of the 47 points and dished out 4 assists. And Anna Radigan was key in this one. She had 17 points and 8 rebounds for Northwestern. Tara Blatchford with 12 points and 4 assists. And I watched this Northwestern squad earlier this year versus Wabe Summit, cover the game on KSDN 930 AM and 102.1 FM. That was earlier on in the season. And my biggest takeaway was I'm looking at this roster and I'm saying junior, sophomore, freshman, sophomore, junior. Where's the seniors? And they go out and beat Wabe Summit, which was a pretty good A school, and, you know, got close to double-digit wins and, you know, definitely competed, you know, at a high level in Class A. And they beat them pretty handedly. And I'm sitting here and saying, wait a second here, watch out for this Northwestern Wildcat squad. And they have moments where they struggle at times. They go on long stretches where they can't put the ball in the hole. But they do go on stretches where they can't be stopped. And I think you saw it in this game here especially. You lead by 15 after 3. Everything's working for you. All you got to do is close it out. They are a young team, right? They're a very young team. So you got to think, you know, palms are going to get pretty sweaty there the fourth quarter. They certainly did. And Loyola Frederick made a nice run at it and outscored them 23-10 in the fourth quarter. But Northwestern was just able to hang on, and that team's got a lot of confidence, and they move on to the SODAC 16. So congratulations to Warner and Northwestern there. Region 2B, it was Arlington defeating Iroquois Lake Preston 65-32. And I'll tell you what, Arlington has some serious balance. Jalen Hunnemer, 20 points and 5 rebounds. Adelin Stephenson, 14 points. Jolissa Stephenson with 12 points, Harley Johnson 10 points, and this one was a tough one for Iroquois Lake Preston. They led, or Arlington led, 31-14 at the half, and Iroquois Lake Preston was led by Faith Stephenson, 3 points, but how about 15 rebounds? Addison Moore had 14 points and 4 boards for Iroquois Lake Preston, but Arlington moves on. The other matchup in 2B was James Valley Christian and Dubrook, and this is another weird game. It really is, because Dubrook led this game by 2 at the half, 22-20, and, you know, low-scoring game, you feel good with where you're at, and James Valley Christian said, hold up, wait a second, we got a run in us. They outscored Dubrook 37-16 in that second half. And we talk a lot about balance. I'm a big balance guy. When you see these teams win, you see a lot of double-figure points from 3 or 4 different players, and that's what James Valley Christian had in this one. Alexa Gertz with 18 points. Addison Barthlow had 11 points. Kaylee Robinson with 9 points and 10 rebounds, and they outscored them 37-16 in the second half. In Region 6B, it was Lyman defeating Potter County 69-40. Skylar Vollmer, 19 points, 9 rebounds, 4 steals. Jordan Scott with 17-5. McKaylee Scott with 17-6. And the other matchup in 6B, Highmore Herald fell to Harriet Selby by 16, 54-38. That's a look at Class B. And, of course, towards the bottom of the show, we're going to take a look at the SODAC 16 matchups for next Thursday. So make sure to keep it tuned for that towards the back half of the show after our interview with Ryan Martin coming up here shortly at around 10:30. Looking at Region 1A, it's Aberdeen Roncalli defeating Groton by 9, 44-35. Ava Hansen, she's been doing it all season long, 11 points. Maddie Huber with 11 points as well. And Groton just struggled to score in this game, and they've struggled to score against Aberdeen Roncalli in particular. They did put up 15 more points, and it's crazy. If they would have put up 35 the first time these two teams met, they would have won 1-1, 35-33. But Aberdeen Roncalli just did enough offensively. It was a pretty close game at the half. I think it was Roncalli leading by 4, 27-23. So they really did a good job defensively in the second half. 44-35 win for Roncalli. Congratulations. They move on to the SODAC 16. The other matchup was Sisseton and Milbank in Region 1A. We had head coach Sarah Lincoln on there yesterday on the Sports Hub, and we talked about this matchup here, and Sisseton just cruised. Chloe Longager, 22 points to lead the way for the Lady Redmen. Hannah Leverson with 13. Krista Longager only with 12 points. So, you know, you usually see in the Sisseton box score Krista Longager getting the most points, but not tonight, or not last night. Chloe led the way, and we talked to Sarah Lincoln about that, the balance that they have. Doesn't matter who scores. They play team basketball. It was on full display versus Milbank last night. They move on to the SODAC 16. Looking at Region 2A, it was Flandreau. They remain undefeated, and this was a battle versus Sioux Valley for sure. You know, you look at the box score, you see 46-30, but this was pretty low scoring in the first half. They had to grind this one out. Lily Klein, 19 points, 5 boards. Claire Shepard had 9 points and 11 rebounds, and Lizzie Pavlis had 6 points and 11 rebounds. Just a grinded-out type of win for Flandreau. They stay undefeated and move on to the SODAC 16. Here's one that we took note of earlier this week. Florence Henry and Hamlin. Hamlin, obviously, the defending Class A champions. They go down on the road at Florence Henry, 59-46, your final. Reese Schmidt led the way for the Falcons. 22 points, Taylor Watson, 10. Haley Lavacek, 15. Kaylin Kelly, 12. That's 4 in double figures for Florence Henry. And this is a team I can't get a grip on. Do they score? You know, they play a lot of different styles. They don't score a ton of points, and it's difficult to kind of see where they're at. It's, you know, one game they're in the low 40s, one game they're in the 60s, upper 50s. This was one where they were able to just get that balance. The shots were falling, and they get a 13-point win and eliminate Hamlin. And Addie Neuendorf, she had 30 of the 46 points last night. She's incredible, but it wasn't enough. Nice win for Florence Henry. And just talking to head coach Mitch Reed earlier on the Sports Hub, what was that, a couple weeks ago, you know, this is a team that is hungry to get back. They only lost a couple games last year, had an incredible season this year, and I could just see that sense of, hey, we want to get back here. Really nice win for Florence Henry at home by 13 against the team. Obviously, they graduated a lot of girls, but still, from that state championship team a season ago, but still, you know, you play a Hamlin team, you know, it's going to be a tough matchup. Really nice win for Florence Henry. Looking at Region 6, it was Mobridge Pollock defeating Crow Creek by 17, 56-39. And how about Miller? We had their head coach on the Sports Hub a couple weeks ago, and that's another really young team. They were the 2 seed in 6A, and they beat McLaughlin in a low-scoring affair, 43-35. Really nice win for Miller, and congratulations to that program as they move on to the SODAC 16. 10:27 here on the Sports Hub. When we come up next here, we're joined by Ryan Martin on the phone line. He's going to be talking a little bit about the state wrestling tournament in Sioux Falls. Really looking forward to having Ryan on the program here and getting his input of what he saw yesterday, what he's seen thus far here today. It's day 2 of 3 at the state wrestling tournament. We're joined by Hub City Radio broadcaster, sports broadcaster Ryan Martin, coming up next on The Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM. It's the Sports Hub, 1032. And joining us here on the phone line this morning is Hub City Radio sports broadcaster Ryan Martin. And Ryan is live out there at the Denny Sanford Premier Center in Sioux Falls for the state wrestling tournament. Ryan, can you hear us? How you doing?
I can. Doing well. The wrestling's going good. The action's heating up. Obviously, you get to the second day, the intensity picks up, and kids really turn it on. So it's going to be exciting this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And, again, you can catch Ryan across our family of Hub City radio stations, giving updates throughout the weekend here. And Ryan, just want to start, you know, how's the atmosphere out there? Is it just absolutely electric? Could you just speak on that?
It is. The first round wrestlebacks just started this morning, so it's a little bit different if you – win yesterday in your first round, then you lose. Now you're waiting for the second round wrestleback. So you still haven't quite wrestled yet today. If you lost yesterday in the first round, you had to come back at 9:30 this morning. The girls are wrestling now. The boys just started here a little bit ago. But you're talking, you know, if you come back and you wrestle the first round this morning, if you lose, you're done. So you got to come back with a victory in the first round wrestlebacks to stay alive. You know, I always told everybody, you know, when my kid was wrestling, win two before you lose two. That puts you on the podium. So that's the simplest way to put it, and a little bit of a drag. It's dragged out a little bit as far as the schedule and that type of thing. I mean, you know, even if you lose your first two, you're still going to have to weigh in twice. So that's different. You know, and even if you're on the winner side of things, you lose or you win two yesterday, then you're waiting until this afternoon to wrestle. So keeping track of your downtime and knowing when to turn it up as far as mentally and focus, your focus is all in coaching and just trying to keep the kids calm, you know, before the storm, if you know, as they say.
Yeah, that's got to be a little bit tough, though, you know, that, having to wait all that time to wrestle after, you know, let's say you have a pretty successful first day. You got to wait a while right for the second. You know, you've been around wrestling. You're talking to somebody who's a newbie when it comes to wrestling. So when you have that time period like that, you know, do you just kind of have to just wait, get into a zone? Can you speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, well, a lot of these kids will turn on the music, that type of thing, but at the same time, you still got to be a good teammate. So you got kids wrestling in the wrestlebacks that you've been working out with that you're, you know, hoping to place and hoping to come along with you and, you know, get on the podium. So you can't completely pull yourself away from it entirely, but at the same time, mentally, you got to realize, you know, when I report this morning, you know, to watch my teammates wrestle, I don't wrestle till this afternoon, you know. So there's quite a few kids in the semifinals. I can go through those and kind of identify them if you want, man.
Yeah, that'd be great if you could do that.
All right, in the semifinals, girls' side of things, Liza Kruger's really wrestling well at 100 pounds. She won her first two matches. We got a girl from Ipswich, Sophia Knittle, at 126 pounds. She won a close quarterfinal match 5-4 to get into the semis. You start talking Aberdeen Central, Katrina Gibson at 165. She's the state champion. She's once again in the semifinals, as she dominated the first two rounds. Also, on the boys' side of things, we got Raiden Zenz at 126 pounds in the quarters. He won a 1-0 match against the West Central kid. It was really exciting. You start transitioning now to 138 from Webster area, Hayden Jorgensen. He was a state finalist last year. He's in the semifinals once again, wrestling well in the first two rounds. Groton area, Christian Urshman. He's on a path. I think he wrestles Blasius next from Phillip. That'll be one of the most exciting semifinal matches out of all of them at 144 pounds as Christian Urshman looks to get in the finals. Also, semifinalist at 157 was Mason Shrimp. He looked good in his first two rounds, you know, won handily, as he'll be in the semifinals this afternoon. Also, Falkton area 215-pounder Lincoln Dickoff, he won his first two matches, looks really good at 215, looks, you know, explosive. Won his first two matches handily. Also, the heavyweight, the dominator, Grady Fye. This kid is on a track to win a state title, just like his brother Mason, wrestling really tough at the heavyweight in Class B, and he's a semifinalist, number one seed, looking to win a state title.
Awesome. And you mentioned a little bit about Aberdeen Central, and we've talked a lot about that wrestling program and the strides they've taken this year. I saw that the girls really had a solid start. They won six of its 10 opening round matches. I know you hit some of the highlights, yep. But what stood out the most from your perspective looking at the Central girls?
The fundamentals. I mean, they qualified 10. You look across at all these girls' teams, it kind of, you know, mirrors girls' basketball, if you will, Matt. The fundamentals are good. The passing, the boxing out, the rebounding, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wrestling with the girls is just like that. These girls are keeping in a good stance, doing all the little things to get victories. And I'm telling you what, these girls, you know, obviously a wrestler at the state tournament, you've won 30, 35 matches, you walk around with a little swag, right?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, these girls can walk around with some swag too. There's girls walking around here saying, next up, whoever wants to go, let's go. So that's cool to see. You know, them have that intensity in a combat sport, you know, with their families behind them, wrestling girl on girl and going for state titles just like the boys. I tell you what, girls wrestling's on the rise, numbers across the nation.
And talking a little bit about the Golden Eagles boys squad, they had 14 matches, won 10 of them, and I'm seeing a quote here from head coach Donnie Bowden there, or Donnie Bowden. Ooh. And he said, sure. You know, we won 10 of 14 matches, so that was a really good start. He really enjoyed what he saw in his opening day of the 14 matches. What did you see? I know you talked about Zens, but, I mean, that's a program that's really, you know, picked up some momentum, especially late in the season. And now they're starting playing, you know, they're starting to wrestle pretty well here at the state tournament. What do you see?
Yeah. I mean, you start talking, you've been around state wrestling at all. The wrestle backs is what does everything. You get into those wrestle backs and the kids that can, you know, get up for this first round wrestle back match and win and extend their life in the tournament equals points, right? So as Aberdeen Central sits there with a deep team, the first and second round wrestle backs are going to be huge. I mean, there was a couple of kids, Ridley Waldo, Tate Huff, I thought probably would win in the quarters. They lost. So they got to come back and wipe that slate clean and be able to win in the wrestle backs and continue to get on the podium. You know, there's some good wrestlers in the wrestle backs, and you got to bring it or you'll get bounced from the tournament.
And Ryan, you want to preview anything that is upcoming for day two here? If you could preview a little bit about that as well, that'd be great.
Yeah, this afternoon semifinals is going to be huge. I mean, it starts, I believe, at 3 o'clock. Aberdeen Central's got a couple wrestlers in there, three actually, you know, one girl there in Katrina Gibson. Then, you know, we got Shrimp and then Zens, you know, right there in a battle for a state title. So it's cool to see these kids, you know, get to this level, and you work so hard throughout the year, and 1 point equals winning or losing. And, you know, it equals tears or raising your hands. And that's the greatest part about the sport is the passion and the hard work all comes in down to a few seconds late in February. And that's going to come up here in the semifinals with some great matchups. And I'm excited about it, excited to cover it for all the sponsors. Obviously, advertising support is tremendous in these communities as they cover, you know, the rural areas around Aberdeen and then Aberdeen Central, Roncalli. Just trying to drum up support for wrestling and support for these kids, and I think we're doing that.
For sure. Ryan Martin joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM. It's the Sports Hub. And Ryan, you talked about the heavyweights. I see, you know, I feel like that's something that you really enjoy. Could you just talk about, you know, what's that like? Because I feel like, you know, obviously every match is intense, but those heavyweights, those are some big, you know, big people going at it, right? I mean, this
you bet, Matt. Get thrown on your head or throw somebody else on their head. That's how that works. I like it. Beetlesbacher's right in there. You know, he's wrestling well, trying to come back in the wrestle backs. But Grady Fye, I'm telling you what, this kid, as a senior, went up and entered in the Jamestown Open.
Wow.
The college.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's chasing a state title, but the kid's got bigger aspirations. He's going to Northern with his brother Mason that won a state title. He's good on his feet. Just he lost to Tron Cook last year from Canton. He'll probably have him in the finals again this afternoon. So, I tell you what, Grady Fye looks on a mission. He looks to avenge that loss against Cook, and I don't think he's going to come down up short. I tell you what, he looks tremendous.
Final question here for you, Ryan. You talked about the growth of the sport, you know, and you talk about the atmosphere at Sioux Falls there at the Denny Sanford Premier Center. Can you just talk about, you know, what you've seen maybe over the last, you know, couple of years covering, you know, wrestling, that this sport is just continuing to grow, and it's at an elite level here in Northeast South Dakota. Can you just speak on that?
Great question, Matt. Great question. You know, there's a lot of battle online about USA Wrestling and AAU Wrestling and, you know, what the state should do, that type of thing. I'm telling you what, all of, there's avenues through Legends of Gold and these teams that are putting together, going to big national tournaments. I mean, iron sharpens iron. You go down to Des Moines and you settle in for 8 duels over 2 days against some of the best duel teams in the nation. I tell you what, you come back to the South Dakota State Tournament, doesn't seem like so much pressure. So there's opportunities for these kids. They're taking several teams. Bo Larson works with the freestyle wrestling a lot and takes teams to Fargo and, you know, the Ironman meets, if you will, where they, you know, go freestyle, Greco, folk style. You know, those can be rather interesting. And, you know, the kids that are wrestling in the off season are the kids that are really dedicated. So you hit some of those tournaments and the help's there. And that's contributed to the rise of the sport in South Dakota. I mean, there's got so much help with the girls side of things and having a college program now in the state. It's just tremendous as far as the girls side of things. And I think that's fueled the boys, you know, as far as wrestling as a whole. So, wrestling's in a good spot in South Dakota and got some good people with USA Wrestling and AAU Wrestling helping that happen. So it's in good hands, I think.
Anything else before we let you go? I just want to toss it to you, final words here on the Sports Hub.
Yeah, just got the team score side of things. Sturgis is right there in Class A. Deer's right behind them. Brandon Valley's in third. Aberdeen Central currently sitting there in fifth. You know, they got to get some wins in the WrestleBacks, and I think they'll do that and kind of climb the leaderboard. They were currently in fifth. If you look at the Class B side of things, Philip Kadok Area Wall has a shot of knocking Canton off. Canton's won several state titles in a row. It's going to be interesting because Philip looks tough with the Blasius kids, and it's just a solid team. So Canton sitting there in second, Custer in third, Winter Area in fourth, Wagner in fifth, and that was coming into today. So that's definitely some solid teams up there that are looking at the point race on the team score side of things, which only adds to the electricity in the arena.
Awesome. That's Ryan Martin, Hub City Radio sports broadcaster. Make sure to keep it tuned here across our family of Hub City Radio stations as Ryan's going to be giving you updates all day long and all weekend long here from the state wrestling tournament. Ryan, thanks a lot for joining us here on the Sports Hub, and looking forward to see how everything shakes out here in day two and into the weekend. Really appreciate you joining us.
Hey, thanks, Matt. Have a good one.
Coming up next here on the Sports Hub, we're going to take a look at the SODAC 16 matchups for next Thursday in girls basketball. We'll read over that schedule. We'll talk about it all coming up next here on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM. Live stream video, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Also, if you missed any segments of the show, well, we post it on our website, hubcityradio.com. Just click on the Sports tab. If you missed that interview with Ryan Martin earlier, definitely encourage you to check that out on our website, hubcityradio.com, following the show. Great insight from Sioux Falls State Wrestling Tournament. Aberdeen Central having a great start to the weekend. Had a really nice start yesterday. They got the semifinal matches coming up later on this afternoon, and you don't want to miss any of that coverage across our family of Hub City radio stations. Ryan Martin will be giving updates throughout, but definitely check out that interview after the show on our website, hubcityradio.com. Final segment here of the show, we'll take a look at the schedule for this weekend. Also, right now, we're going to take a look at the SODAC 16 schedule for both Class A and Class B. And both of those matchups, or all of the matchups in Class A and Class B, are scheduled for next Thursday, February 29th. We got the times. We also got the locations of all of them as well. This came out late last night. And you can visit our website, hubcityradio.com, for more details on that. Just click on the Sports tab. But we'll jump into that right now. In Class A, you got the number one seed, Sisseton, taking on the number 16 seed, Tri-Valley, at 7. That game's going to be at Watertown Civic Arena. And it's kind of fitting for the Sisseton squad to be playing at Watertown Civic Arena. That's where the state tournament was last year. And they could punch their ticket to the state tournament this year with a win at Watertown Civic Arena versus Tri-Valley. That's a 7 p.m. start next Thursday. Number two seed, Sioux Falls Christian, and just have been a great quality team all year. They're taking on number 15 Miller. That one is scheduled for 6 p.m. That's going to be at McCook Central High School. That one, the 2-15 matchup between Sioux Falls Christian and Miller, it's scheduled for 6 at McCook Central School. Again, all these matchups Thursday, February 29th. Undefeated Flandreau, they are the 3 seed, and they're taking on number 14 Hill City at 7 p.m. That game's going to be at Chamberlain High School. Now, when I saw this game was at Chamberlain, I'm like, hold up, wait a second. That's a pretty long ways. I looked at it. It's about a two and a half hour closer to 245 drive from Flandreau, and it's about 3.5 from Hill City. So both those teams are going to have to travel a good bit for that one. 7 p.m. at Chamberlain High School. Number 4, Vermilion, taking on number 13, Winter at 6:30 at Menno High School. That's 4-13. Again, this is all Class A. You also got T, the number 6 seed, versus Mobridge Pollock at 5:30. That one's going to be at Huron Arena at 5:30. Following that game, the 7-10 matchup, Aberdeen-Roncalli making the SODAC 16. They're going to be taking on Mount Vernon-Plankinton at 7. That game's going to be at Huron Arena. We'll have coverage of that one on Pheasant Country 103 with Scott Solberg. How about the Roncalli defense? We talked about it in our earlier segment, but really got after it there last night against a Groton team, a grinded-out type win. They won by 9, and now they're dancing in the SODAC 16. Mount Vernon Plankinton in the 7-10 matchup at Huron Arena. And 8-9, it's Hanson taking on Florence Henry. That one is scheduled for 7:30 at Madison High School. Quickly looking at the Class B SODAC 16 matchups. Number 1, Harlington taking on Gayville Valin at 6 p.m. at Madison High School. Harding County taking on Northwestern at 5 Mountain Time. That's going to be at Timberlake High School. Centerville and Trip Delmont Armor at 7. That's the 3-14 matchup. That's going to be at Irene Wakanda High School at 7. Ethan and Andy Central Dakota Christian at 7 at Parkston. The 5-12 matchup looks like this. Wall and Coleman Egan, 5:30. And that one's going to be at Stanley County High School. Number 6, Warner. How are they a 6 seed? 19-2, first in the region. Felt like they got the short end of the stick being a 6 seed here. And they're taking on number 11, Harriet Selby at 7. That matchup's going to be at Ipswich. Like I said, I just felt like Warner possibly could have been a higher seed, but they're in that 6-11 matchup versus Ipswich. Lyman, the 7 seed, taking on Catoca area at 7. That's at Murdo. And then Lemon and James Valley Christian in the 8-9, 6:30 p.m. at Gettysburg Gym. You could take a look at the full girls basketball SODAC 16 matchups and locations. Visit our website, HubCityRadio.com. Just click on the sports tab there. Taking a look at the Friday schedule across our Hub City Radio family of stations for tonight. We got a game on Sunday 97.7. Yours truly is going to be on the play-by-play from Golden Eagles Arena. Aberdeen Central, the girls squad, wrap up the season versus Sioux Falls Jefferson, 7 p.m. Opening tip-off. We'll have the Golden Eagles shoot-around pregame show right around 6:45 with interviews with head coach Michaela Archigo. They try to finish the regular season off strong. They've struggled as of late, but senior night there at Aberdeen Central, and going to need a big effort against the Sioux Falls Jefferson team that has had a really good season in AA. Some other matchups in hoops. You got Aberdeen Christian and Groton boys basketball. Tio Spazina taking on Millbank. Sioux Falls Lutheran and Wabe Summit. Florence Henry Webster, Sully Buttes, North Central, Miller, Highmore Herald, Arlington, Clark Willow Lake, Sunshine Bible, Iroquois Lake Preston, Great Plains Lutheran and Wilmot, Loyola Frederick and Ipswich, Waverly South Shore, Lankford, Northwestern and Hitchcock Tulare. Obviously, the state wrestling tournament is going on this weekend as well. Make sure to keep it tuned here for updates with Ryan Martin on that. NAHL action. The Aberdeen Wings, a massive series in Bismarck versus the Bobcats. Got 1 point at home. Going to need a big effort on the road against the Bismarck team that has been red hot. They've won, what is it now, 11 to 12 games. Jake Klein connect on the play-by-play, 94.1 The Rock. Really looking forward to that series. Massive for the Aberdeen Wings. Aberdeen Cougars hockey taking on Sioux Falls. And, of course, you got Northern State this weekend. David Tewksbury will be live from Augustana, 5:30 and 7:30. They're taking on Augie tonight. Wayne State on Saturday, 3:30 and 5:30 right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Visit our website, HubCityRadio.com, for all the details of sports. I'm Matt McClure signing off on this Friday. We're back at it on Monday here on The Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Thanks for listening.